Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a young people left here. Before I talk to you, I thought I might divide you out a bit as to what you think you are. Has anyone got the please? A factual sort of talk in a way by the very nature of it that we have read to us, but I hope it will be helpful and that you will learn something from it. For those who are visiting us, we've been doing a series of studies in 1 Peter, and this is the last one of the series, and really the sort of subheading has been strangers in a secular world. And I'm sure you'll agree with that when we walk outside these doors. Then the other word that flows through the things we've been thinking about is the word submission, which Judith spoke about and said, and I agree with her, that it's a word to be derided nowadays, isn't it? Submission. How dare we submit ourselves to anybody or anything? It's not the done way of living. But I think if we think of submission more as the word respect, that's an easier way to accept it and to think about it in today's world. So that's what we're going to have a think about. And I want just to have a look at the passage as it is and what Peter is saying to the church in those areas, the early church. And then just to widen out to how we can look at it amongst ourselves, just as adults and younger people. The age group is sort of not specific, as you'll see when we get to it. A harassed mum shouts up the stairs. This is the last time I'm calling you. We'll be late for church. Get up. A plaintive voice floats from under the duvet. I don't want to go. I don't like church. No one talks to me. It's boring. Mum retorts, I'm not discussing this with you. Get cracking. Give me 3 good reasons why I should go, said a muffled voice. Okay, says Mum. Number 1, the service starts in 15 minutes. Number 2, you're 47 years of age. Number 3, you're the vicar. I quite enjoyed that one myself. So we've got a mix there of sort of feelings towards understanding one another. And in this passage here, the whole purpose of it is to understand one another, for the older men and women to understand the younger ones, and the younger ones to understand something of the older ones, and that's not always very easy. See, God is a God of order and structure, and thus guidance needed to be given to the early church as to how to behave, how to run affairs. And when you imagine that some of those within the church would have been Jewish people becoming Christians, they were used to a structure, a very defined structure, and a set of rules. And then you had people who were Gentiles who became Christians, and they came from a pagan society largely, or were slaves, and saw a completely different view of life, and probably didn't even understand in the true God. Their minds were confused with all the idols that they saw around them. And so it's necessary to have guidance. But underlying all that happens within the church, we have to understand that need for divine love. And here, Peter is speaking to those who are in a capacity of leadership. Those who have some authority over others. Whether it actually means necessarily elders in the sense of old and mature, or elders in the sense of being mature in their faith but younger in years. That is possible. I think here it is actually talking about older people and younger people. And that's how Peter is putting it over. And he said that as an elder, as someone who is in authority, we are to be like shepherds of God's flock. That's reminiscent, if you recall, of the words that Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." And here is a way of putting over to the church how necessary it is to feed God's flock. And the shepherd looked after his flock. He loved each one of them, as we know from the parables. He even laid across the entrance of the fold to protect them. And those who are in authority and those who are leaders have a need to protect and to guard those who are in their care. So, what does Peter say to these older, mature people? Well, there are at least three things we have here. The top.
Sorry, hold on a sec, Darren.
You can click it for me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Can you?
Yeah.
Thank you. First of all, he says you're not to act forcibly, but willingly. Not to be rough, not to be sort of dictatorial, but to have that love in your heart that whenever things need to be put right, it's with a view to restoration and bringing back to God. And that's very important. Because sometimes discipline is needed. We've known in our past history how that has been necessary here, both by the leadership of the church and by the bishop. And we know that it's sometimes necessary with individuals and with couples, where a certain type of discipline or understanding has to be brought about. And it's necessary to keep order. Secondly, they're not to do the job for money. It doesn't mean to say that Peter can't get paid, but it just means that he doesn't want to grab it. And that's the difference. We don't do something for the money if money is involved, but we do it because we're eager to serve God. And how do we serve? We serve by feeding the flock, by teaching, by coming alongside, encouraging, and all those different things added together. And also, the third one is not lording it over others. Not thinking that we're so great, we've achieved a lot in business, we're known in the world around us, and therefore we can lord it over the saints in the church. That is not so. We're in a different situation, a different setup. We are examples of God's love, and we're serving Him. And it's very important for anyone in authority to serve by example. They have seen to understand what they believe, and then they are more likely to be followed. You remember how Eli, the high priest, and Samuel were together in the temple courts, and you know how the voice came to Samuel at night a couple of times. He didn't understand it, so he went to Eli and said, "What's all this about?" And Eli said, as he realized, he was perceptible enough to realize it was God's voice speaking to Samuel. So he said to Samuel and told him what to do and what to say. And Samuel answered God the third time. And that's something. It's having initiative. It's having foresight. It's seeing advance of something going wrong and being there ready to help. Because we're working for Jesus, the chief shepherd, and the need to protect the sheep. If you want to read any more about what it is to be in leadership and the requirements, then read it in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And the first few verses we tell you the qualification. So what does Peter say to the younger people, there are several things here which might be a bit harsh, but they're not really meant in love. The first one, in verse 5, we're told to be submissive, to have respect to those in authority over us. Respect those that are in authority. Of course, in some cases, people don't really respect, they don't live or deserve the respect that they should be given. And this makes it very difficult. We see that in the world around us. Maybe we have to respect people because they're in a position of government or position of some authority, but as people themselves, we don't like them or we don't agree with them. And it can be very difficult. But there are times when we still need to show respect regarding of our feelings. We were on a trip with John Green, who was a rector 7 years ago at Madersfield, and we went on a trip to Jordan, and then another one on to Syria. And they were brilliant trips. And on one to Jordan, we were by the we went across to Lake Nasser, and we got off the coach and sort of wandered across to the bank. And as we got back in, John had got mud all over his shoes, the bottom of his trousers. And he was standing on the steps of the bus, and this African lady fiddled in her bag, and she pulled out some tissues and a rag, and she wiped his shoes completely clean. He didn't ask her, but she just saw the need, and she had that respect for him, and she actually knelt down on the ground and did this for him. And it was a bit like the washing of the feet. It was quite amazing. So being submissive, not saying you have to do that for everyone. Another thing is we're told in verse 5, younger people should be humble before others, not using the knowledge that you think you have in a dominant way to show off. Be dependent upon God's care, not living under constant anxiety as many people, young people seem to do today. There's so much in their mind, so much being thrown at them, that they are fearful and anxious. And God has promised that he will care for us. That doesn't just mean that he loves us. It means that he will take the care off of us and put it on his own shoulders. He will care instead of us. That's the way that he loves us. And so we escape the worry and the anxiety to a large degree of the things that are on our minds. But also be self-controlled, not rebellious, not saying, I won't do that, I won't do this, I don't agree with you. There are other ways of getting around problems like that. And the last one, verse 8, is to be alert. You might say, well, being young, I am alert. But always, being alert as a Christian to the wiles of Satan, the deception of Satan, because he is the evil one who will divert us away from living a life that pleases God and try to destroy our faith. And we might not even realize it's happening, but that's the way that he works. And I think Peter had the vision of the Colosseum and the lions tearing the Christians apart. And just thinking of that picture, he sees younger people being torn apart spiritually by all the problems around them and within their hearts, within their lives, within their situations, and all that may be happening to them. So those are very wise words, really, that Peter spoke. And that's how I believe the early church heard them and were expected to obey. I'm trying to be very practical in how these sort of things work today, as we can still carry out what Peter has said here. There's nothing wrong or out of keeping or ancient about them. It's still God's church. still Christ's body, and we don't want to defile it and deface it to those who are outside. Now let's just think adults for a minute, things that we need to be doing. We need to be helping and supporting those young in the faith, spiritually and physically. But to be careful not to interfere. A bit like the sort of mother-in-law that comes in and comes into the married couple's house and takes over and comes to see a lovely boy and see that he's been looked after all night and eating properly. And the poor wife standing in the corner being unnoticed. Or she might come in and want to take over and take control and not being abusive to mother-in-laws. But I know it's true. I did have one, but she wasn't like it, but I have seen it. And we do have to be careful how we interfere with those young people who are in a state of new marriage and have to learn for themselves, even through their faults and their problems. We can come alongside, but that's when we're asked and when we see it's necessary. We don't need to interfere. And the pressures of young people and nowadays are so great that we can't really, as older people, understand them all very easily. The world is so different that we live in now to what it was when we were younger. And the technology understanding is just amazing. And, it's quite incredible what a young child can do. I know it's always said that when the mother has a baby in the womb and she listens to good music, it reflects in the life of the baby as it grows up and keeps it calm and hopefully becomes a useful person themselves. And I have a theory that if nowadays all the mothers have their mobile phones in their hands, then that affects the child, so when it grows up it can learn all the technology in a few months. There's something quite amazing. We have to try and understand that with our young people, just how different things are. But I think young people are much more open, and I think we have an amazing group of young people within this church who are open to the Word of God and open to witnessing in the schools. I mean, it's quite incredible. I never said a thing at that age, and I think it's quite remarkable that they're able to witness for God in the schools, and God is blessing that. So we must be encouraged to encourage that and to help them in every way that we can. There are lots of other things, but I won't go into them because time is flying by. But I think certainly as grandparents, we need to value and recognise just what good we can do. We can lead our grandchildren into the right way of things and explain to them the scriptures maybe, give them that sort of love and attention and understanding that they need to find God. Perhaps the parents are not self-interested. Again, we have to be careful that we don't overrule and override, but we see the need. There are children, but they're not. And then you can say goodbye to them, and that can be refreshing. But we don't want to lose them. We need to keep in contact with those that belong to us and those around us, and trust that they will grow up into people of God. There are many other things that are different about us. I know as older people we say we forget things, we can't remember names. And as someone explained, we just had so much fed into our computer minds from the day we were born that we have to press the search button to try and find the answers of life. It's true, it happens. But inside here, you feel as if you're just about 50, whereas your body tells you you're much older. And I think as young people are, probably you still think a 30-year-old person is old. It's just comparative. But they're all problems that we need to understand outside with our friends and within the church, the place where we witness for God. Culturally and spiritually and morally, things are very different in the world in which we live. We have to stand up for the things of God and trust in his word to be true and trust that he will support us. The pace of life is so much quicker. Things happen in your 10 years of life and much faster than it did in my 10 years of life. And that's just the way things are going. Tonight, we need to find those times when we can draw aside and just be quiet and just trust in God and find him to be real and true and know that all that God's word says is real and true and that he will bless us in our lives. And it's a great life, the Christian life. And I'll tell you this, when you get older, it doesn't mean to say that you do less wrong. You still need the forgiveness day by day in God. And it's necessary to realise that. And, you don't think that you know everything when you get old. You just begin to realise you know less and less. You still learn from other people. One of the amazing things is when we have Father at home and they're sat around the tables here and we sit and talk with them and you look at the people and you sort of think, wonder what they've done in their lives. And one's works on aircraft, one's was inspirational in working out the postcodes, the letters. Another was connected to Bletchley. And on it goes and we just look at each other and we don't know what's hidden there. Sometimes maybe as younger people, we need to try and relate to older people. Ask them questions. Find out what you might want to know. Because with your own parents, you never find out what happened to your dad in the war. You know, that's the last thing that you hear. But as we get to know each other, so we need to share. So I think I'll just finish up with this verse. If you could please switch it on. I think this is something that we can value throughout our whole lives, from children to adulthood and beyond. And it's very, very true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Doesn't say easy, it says straight. And that means that you're going on the right path with him and he will protect you and watch over you, but it might not be easy. Don't expect life to be easy, no matter how happy you may feel at the moment. Life for God can be hard, and hard decisions have to be made sometimes. But with God's help and with the help of his people around you, we pray that you will find the answers and the encouragement and the love to know just how to move on from day to day. So I hope that those sort of random thoughts have been of some help to you and that together we can share in the glory of God in this place. Amen.